It's a very common thing. Like, move to London, you're going to be all right. You're going to learn English in 2 weeks. And then you move into a house with 5 Italians. Hey, you speak Italian. You know, like you try to speak English, even though it's all Italians, and you always get at some point, it's like, can we get the, shall we, non mi ricordo come si dice, adesso facciamo un'altra cosa.
Parliamo in italiano.
Yeah, that's right.
Welcome to Comedy with an Accent podcast. I'm your Taiwanese comedian, Quan Wen. I interview comedians who perform English stand-up comedy but who are not native English speakers or they can have a very distinct British regional accent. This podcast is all about comedy, about accent, about languages, and about the comedy technique. So stay tuned if you're interested.
You're still not saying the word. Sorry, I'm not complaining. I'm just making a joke out of it.
Ciao tutti, benvenuti a un nuovo episodio di Commedia con Accento.
Wow, bravo.
My attempt. Sorry, you're at the same podcast. You can tell. You can hear my Chinese accent. Welcome back to another episode.
It's actually, you already got the Italian one. You can tell. You can tell. It's actually a Chinese accent.
You can't do the reverse, all right? You can't.
Oh, I know you attempted. Welcome back to another episode of Comedy with an Accent podcast.
All right.
Today, our guest is our second guest from the Bella Italia.
That's right.
It's been a while. Last one was Luca Cucpani. When I recorded with Luca, I had zero knowledge except for generic stereotypes about Italy.
But you had already starting it?
Before the recording today, I started learning Italian.
Right.
So today I'm talking to you with a little bit of knowledge in your language. I wouldn't say knowledge.
Is it real knowledge or is it like the racist stuff that we...
racist stuff as a display of the past. This is the busiest step.
This is the way I found the table when I came in. I just found
I warned him on the way walking here. I say, we're going to do something because this is a rather serious podcast, but we need the baiting, eye-catching. We need that moment. For that 1 minute Instagram reel, all right?
Before the recording, for like an hour, we talked about cooking. I was like, oh, I thought it was like comedy with an accent. Not pasta with an accent. What's going on?
Let's go comedy with spatula.
Can we swear?
Huh?
Can we swear?
Yeah, I'll beep it.
Good. Oh, you'll beep it. All right.
Oh, but then if you say puzza.
What about puzza? That's not a swear word, though.
But is it not?
Puzza?
Not for sales in Italian, of course, but puzza means shit, right?
No, it means a bad smell.
Puttano is a dirty word, right?
Puttana. It's a female gender word.
What about a guy, a man whore?
You're still going to call him a puttana? Why not?
This is not where we were supposed to go. I got distracted so easily. So today is our second guest from Italy, Tiziano La Bella. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
In case I get distracted again, let's go straight into my typical
commercial.
Not commercial.
So we're selling this for $250, and this is...
And this one's already open, so I can't...
He actually brought some used pasta to podcast recording, guys. This is what's going on. All right.
Wait, am I supposed to go buy a new one?
This makes me understand that you actually cooked like this much, which is... What is it? It's like 50 grams? What did you eat?
No, this is... What's this one? This is rigatoni.
That's right.
I think I cook about 150 or 125. Isn't that the suggested portion?
That's a bit of a...
I was trying to avoid talking about pasta. Sorry. And you drag me right back into it. Let's just go to our center questions. Oh, before that.
Right.
In Italian, you probably just say comedy these days. Young people don't say commedia. You say comedy.
The young would probably say...
Comedy.
Stand-up.
Stand-up. Comedy con accento, con l'accento, con un accento. Which one sounds more natural to you?
In this case, I would say con un accento because you get different people with different accents.
Ah, okay.
Right? Because con l'accento almost sounds like that is with that one.
Right. So I'm going to come back to my standard question. So Tiziano, do you think you have an accent?
I do, 100%. It's weird though because it's changing. He's molesting me right now. You don't see it, but...
I'm sexually harassing. I'm caressing his hair. No, I'm just trying to make sure there's
no... It feels like I'm having lunch with my grandma. It's like no elbows. Like, you know, every time, like no elbows on the table.
I thought it would be easier today because you don't move your hands around as much as Luca. Because when Luca was talking, I was afraid of being hit.
They do that.
Yeah.
You know, these bloody Italians.
What do you mean? They, as in... I thought you were talking about different generations of Italians.
No, I mean, how old is Luca, do you know? Because he looks much younger than he is. That's what I remember.
Are we allowed to disclose this?
I think you are. Okay. I think it's fine. It's just Luca after all,
Hey, he met the Pope.
I love Luca.
Luca met the Pope.
He met the Pope.
You didn't.
I did not.
He was in the midst of the American A-listers.
He was taking taking pictures
Mike
with
Babilia.
Him. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Some unnamed generic white talk show host.
Chris
one of
Rock,
the Stevens.
Jimmy Fallon. Everybody was there.
So don't you dare insult him.
I would never.
Because that gap between you and him is still there.
Absolutely.
He met the Pope. You
the
didn't.
Lord is on the line. Between me and Luca. That's what's
okay,
going
on. Okay, go back. So explain the accent. So you say it's weird because...
It's weird because I came to London like maybe 7 years ago and it was much more... Hello, everybody. How are you doing? I mean, I already studied English a lot at university and stuff, so I'd already tried like to correct and stuff. But then I started like... almost trying to get steal the English accent, like to learn the real stuff. Mm. And then I met my girlfriend, who's Australian. Have you met?
No, but I heard you talk about her in your clip.
There you go. So now I got like little bits and stuff. Like
Australia.
Yeah, like very often I got people coming to me, you're in Italy living in London with an Australian accent. What, did you have a stroke? What's going on? Like, why?
I can't tell though. I mean, I'm not an expert on Australian accent, but what would be... a word or an expression.
Expression.
That like, keeps away.
Like they constantly, 100%. Mm. Like I didn't used to say that. Blimey, whatever. Like, I got the even some words.
When you say blimey, I feel like you're trying too hard to act street.
It's like the, even some words I didn't know how to say them in English because I thought, like, the thing that you sleep under is the doona for me. You know?
You sleep under duvet?
That's it in English, right? Yeah. I didn't know it was. You know, I've always called it a doona, 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 and then someone said, what the f*** is a doona? And I found out that it's just an Aussie thing.
Oh, I thought it was an Italian thing.
No. No, not at all. Shitloads, you know what they say?
But see, I feel UK did pick up a little bit of Australianism.
Mm.
When I first got here, I was shocked when people just mate each other. Mm. For me, that's a really... Because I find English culture a bit fake.
Okay.
And when they're kind of faking to be your really close friend and calling you mate, I thought like, it works in Australian, but for you guys, it's just But now I'm used to it.
Everybody uses it, don't they?
Yeah. And that's a very big contrast between American English, which I learned, British English. Here, people more like to say mate, whereas American more like to say bros. I don't know, dude.
Dude is like almost funny to me.
If someone has a very quintessential British accent, and when they say dude, it just sounds
if someone bumps into me and says, sorry, dude,
you're like,
I have a little chuckle.
It's a comedian making a bit.
Yeah, you're right.
So you say it's weird because you carry a little bit of Australian influence right now.
100%. Mm. Absolutely. It's like they just come out. I don't know. I say like, tell him he's dreaming. Mm. You know, have you ever heard this?
Streaming.
Not dreaming. Tell him he's dreaming.
Dreaming.
Yeah, like it's like...
I thought you were saying straight man without the T at the end. It's streaming. What are you talking about?
Always thinking about the same stuff. You know, always the... Something very weird that happened to me when I went to Australia about language stuff.
Yeah.
So, first of all, I found out about this word. It was already like maybe I had been here maybe 4 years already. I'm going to say like the W word.
The W word.
You know what I'm talking about?
Like when, where, who?
No, it's like the W word. Come on, man. I can't even spell it, I guess.
Why say it?
No, it's a racist thing.
Okay, which race is insulted? I honestly don't know.
That's the point. That's the actual point. Because here, I found out that in London, in England, they say the W word.
Yeah.
Shall I say it and then you cut it out?
Yeah, I will. Woke.
W.
Oh, I don't know what that is. I honestly don't know.
Apparently, it's a very common thing. Like, here, that it's as bad or almost as bad as the N word.
Mm.
I go to Australia to meet the family and everybody. And they're like, here is the W word.
Because what does that mean?
For them, it means Mediterranean stuff. French, Italian, Spanish people and all that.
Right.
And they had a racist period, you know, everybody was protesting, like, get this W out of our countries and all that. But today, I went to Australia and the whole family just jokingly, they say, here's this word. But here is like incredibly frowned upon.
Never heard
I'm
of
very that. Surprised that you don't know that.
No, I don't know it. Because I hang around decent people. No, I honestly do not know it until today. I have no idea. Because I thought
you didn't even know the word. That's shocking.
No.
Shocking.
I thought you were like maybe implying the word like watermelon smile that Boris Johnson used. Like, what are you talking about?
Watermelon smile, you said?
Yeah.
What the f*** is that?
That's how he insulted black people.
No way.
Yeah, he said that.
But still, he got elected. They say racism is quite blatant in Australia, but more latent in the UK. It doesn't imply UK British people are less racist. It's just they're better at disguise it. But I didn't know the word. That's the same with the C word, right? Like, it's basically a greeting in Glasgow for the Scottish.
Is it?
But right. Americans really hate it. I feel as a comedian, when you perform, you're allowed to swear to a point, especially when your crowd is a bit younger.
Right.
I feel like on stage, saying it's not that big a deal here, I feel. Just don't overuse it.
I'm a big fan of the word, can I say? I really like.
I might be, but the Americans really hate it.
They do.
You can tell, especially if you go to a gig in central London and you have tourists from America, the Gen X or boomers above, their face just, when you say it casually, you can see the British crowd okay with it. They're used to this kind of language at a comedy show. Right. But the American is a big no-no.
I did hear some Australians, some English people, and some Americans say the C word.
Yeah.
So even when you go to Oz, it's not like, no. They're even like, there is the right context and blah, blah, blah. But I'm a big fan of the word. I like it.
I'm never sure whether this old joke of mine is considered a low-hanging fruit.
What's a low-hanging fruit?
A low-hanging fruit, so it's easy to pick. So it's not like a hack joke.
Okay.
The premise starts with, in Asian languages, we don't have quite as many subtle differences between certain vowels. Let's say if I learn British English, I cannot really tell the difference between cant, like C-A-N apostrophe T.
And
like I can, but the joke would be like, if I were to say in American English, you can't count.
Right.
It would sound like you can't. But that is, I don't know. I feel like it's reinforcing the stereotype of the Chinese accent. So I used it when I was
Why do you say stereotype, though?
It just implies that people who look like my racial background never have a command of this English. I mean,
oh, never. It's like,
I don't know. In recent years, it's better, but say 5 to 6 years ago, someone who's yellow, East Asian, you see them on screen, they kind of struggle with their English and they do a very dialogue-light character.
Right.
Like a restaurant owner, a waiter, or like a prostitute.
Mm.
So I feel I don't want to... I want to give more layers to people who look like me. But then it's a very effective joke. And it was true. Like when I learned
That's the thing. That's the thing. It's true. You know, you're not being offensive to anybody. You just, it's fine. I mean, I don't see the offensive part in it the same way I talk about the Italian accent and Italians here. It's true. You know, because sometimes in stereotypes, there is always.
Well, not exactly. This comes to my follow-up question now.
Go on.
Because you are the second Italian guest, I'm going to make a lot of reference and compare you back to Luca.
Go on.
Actually, when I recorded with Luca, we talked about you already.
No way.
I said to Luca that when I first came to Europe and I did some language class with Italian people, those Italian people of a certain generation seem linguistically challenged. They were the least likely to overcome the original pronunciation to adapt themselves to a different language, supposed pronunciation.
Right.
And also when they talk, their hands constantly move around. So it was all lingua cliche. But I said to Luca, I noticed a very remarkable difference between him and you. No, between you and him. That's the correct.
That he met the Pope and I didn't. Yeah.
No.
Jesus.
In that, your Italian accent is not that obvious. He was more obvious, he admitted to that. When you speak in English, you remove the mannerism of Italian. I mean, I don't actually, when you speak Italian, you don't seem quite as...
Go on.
Like, what a racist would think, like stereotypical.
Like, I don't move as much?
As in, I feel when you speak English, you switch. You actually switch to a different mode. English comes a lot more natural to you. And Luca then explained to me, because of Netflix... stuff like that. You used to be the case where Italian can only watch everything foreign dubbed in Italian. There was no chance for them to be exposed to foreign languages that often. So the world has changed because of globalization or the media and internet. Italian youth proof that now we're equally able to pick up another language. It's just that in the past, our culture setting didn't allow us to have so much exposure to English directly.
Absolutely, yeah.
I feel like you are a product of the new generation Italian. That's what I mean.
It might be, although there is many people like my age and younger that is just like exactly as Luca or, you know, or much more.
Okay. Moody. I don't know how I'm going to cut this bit, but when I did a recording with Victor and I asked him for all the countries.
But Victor is a...
Victor Petroskan.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
I say that when you tour in Europe, for all the countries you went, which country had the worst English fluency? And without a second of hesitation, he said Italy.
Italy, yeah, 100%. 100%.
People came to talk to him after the show. They couldn't even have a proper discussion. And he just thought, did you even understand anything I say? And I say everything with a Romanian accent.
That's right. That's right.
The world celebrate Italian stereotype, which is beyond comprehension.
What the stereotype?
Okay, so one of the Instagram...
Because I think, like, so far, every stereotype you mentioned is just facts. It's not... the moving against the accent, it's not stereotypes. It's all true.
So there are quite a few accounts like this on Instagram. I don't have TikTok, so I'm pretty sure they also operate on TikTok and YouTube. It's typically Italian react angrily when people put pineapple on pizza.
I wouldn't say angrily. I mean, it's all like very much emphasized.
There was this American woman, and all her account is basically about, look how my Italian husband is cute.
I hate that.
Amore, amore. And you wouldn't say that, oh, this is not the way to cook pasta.
You know what? You know what I hate so much about that? What I think happened, they had a moment, you know? They had a moment when she actually did it, and he was like, dai, ma che cazzo fai, blah, 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 and all that. And it was funny. And then they transformed that lovely moment that they had into a bloody thing to get likes and stuff. So they repeat, like they do 100 times, and it's not a moment anymore. It's just TikTok stuff that they...
Yeah, it's like the fungus.
I hate it.
It's like, amore, this is how we do pasta. I start rolling the flour, blah, blah, blah. And I just thought, oh, you like to show all your husband so much, I wish some other women come to steal him right away. This is how negative I can be, so sure.
That's fine. That's fine. That's absolutely understandable. We all hate her.
I rarely look into this level of detail, but then when I recorded with Miki last week, she said when she write down a line, she will read and see how that sounds and feels right.
Of course.
And I was reading this book by Adam Bloom as well.
Yeah?
Yeah, Finding Your Comedy. Yeah, yeah. Comedic or Comedy Genius?
Comedy
This
genius.
Is a really good example. Some word just sounds funny and it highlights the whole sentence.
Of course.
So if I were to say, I can make you something, it's not going to sound as funny as say, I will crochet you something, for example.
However, I'm going to say that for me, it's true too. Mm. And for you, it is. For someone else might be different because the way you said it and I said it, it sounds like stronger and whatever. But if someone plays more about the vowels and different sounds, it might be better for... At the end of the day, it's always like subjective. You got to see what's better for that comic. But I get what you're saying.
Like, yeah, so what I'm saying is a word will be different in different languages.
100%.
So you can have an idea that's funny and you've written it in a very funny way to make it sound funny also in English. Mm-hmm. But when you translate in Italian, then you have to do that fine-tuning.
I learned it the hard way because it was that period that I told you about.
Yeah.
At some point, I found myself having to translate the stuff that I wrote in English into Italian. But I hadn't performed it in Italian in ages.
Yeah.
I would say, however, in English. And I translate it.
Però.
That would be the thing. But however is like more exactly that I translated as nonostante, which is literally like however.
Too many syllables. It sounds...
It's not about the syllables. It's to me, it sounds a little bit formal. But
yes.
That's just an example to say that when you translate jokes, you don't have to translate the joke. You have to translate yourself in the joke. How do you say that thing? In that language, not the literal translation.
Nonostante would be more similar to nevertheless. In English.
Yeah, maybe. What I had to do, it was to learn to translate the jokes for me. Most of the time now, I either write in English or I write in Italian. Like if I instinctively like write a joke in English, I know that that's probably a thing that I'm
you
just
You basically have to make it sound natural and
correct.
It works in
Absolutely.
That language.
Yeah.
I always wonder, because melodically Italian is so beautiful and you have a lot of word that just sounds funny. I wonder whether Italian are more used to that so it doesn't strike that. For example, I find the Italian word for garbage really funny, spazzatura.
That's one word for it, yeah?
Yeah, but for Italian, it's just it's a common word, or you feel, it just sounds funny.
Spazzatura. Well, it's what you were saying before about there is a sp, there is a ts, you know, r as well. So it's a word that you would want to use maybe if you...
So if you imagine if a joke's reveal or punchline
right.
ends on a spazzatura,
That's
like melodically,
although,
it's very strong.
To me, it sounds formal though, spazzatura.
It sounds formal?
To me, yes.
Oh, okay.
I think in my family, I never heard it, like spazzatura.
How would you call it then?
It's a immondizia. Also, you know what's about Italy? It's a lot, like it's a huge...
It's not really a united country. It's very fragmented.
No. I think they know.
I know. They know.
It's more about where you're from.
The regionalism.
The region. Like, it's a huge influence, like different accents, different dialects. We're talking about Sardinia before, and it's not even a dialect. It's just a language.
What about the other one also started with SP when it says spaventoso? Is that a strong word or is that quite a common word?
It is, but again, kind of formal. I don't know. I would never say, spaventoso. Like, it's...
It's from Duolingo, so it's understandably formal.
Duolingo, man. I love Duolingo. I love Duolingo because... I don't know if they do this consciously or it's just random. Some stuff. I was studying Turkish with it.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, next sentence. The woman is in the kitchen. You know? Like,
really? My Duolingo story, half a time a lesbian couple.
Really?
I wonder why. I think.
I think they personalize it. Yeah, like on.
But you see, I'm not going to hurt a lesbian community. And also, a lot of my Italian Duolingo scenario end up with a guy called Vikram.
Yeah, me too. You're right.
Is that a thing?
I mean, the thing is, Duolingo is trying to...
Wokeism gone too far.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Nobody in Italy is called Vikram. There's no
maybe,
Vikram.
Maybe.
No one. Nobody's called Vikram in Italy.
Give me pa Vittorio.
And I'm going to get all the hate messages from Vikram living in Italy. Racist. Hi, Vikram. If you're listening...
Back to the accent thing. I was on about you being the new generation.
Right. And am I new though? Like, I'm 32. It's like, it's not that new, is it?
Yeah, but you're at least, you're not an old millennial. Even in the rank of millennial, you are the young.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the terms like boomer, generation X, Y.
Okay, so
Z.
Millennial is from 1982 to 1995, 1996-ish.
Yeah. So I'm a millennial.
You're a millennial.
I'm a millennial, there you go.
Do you think it's true though? As in, you are more fluent or at ease with English compared to older generation of Italians?
So, following this logic,
yes,
the generation after mine should be better with their accent.
Maybe you guys peak and you just plateau. I think that there are so many Italians in London, at least for this group of Italian, if they migrate back, they will bring back the same English fluency, right?
No.
No?
I don't agree, because the huge majority of the Italians that are here, they work in hospitality. And when they do... Hospitality is not English stuff. Like, there's not many English people working there. So many times I worked in restaurants and stuff that there were just Italians working there. So most of the time at your job in London, you speak Italian. And everybody does. You know?
Like, dirty secret.
The Turkish chef, the Malaysian dish washer. You know, everybody knows some stuff about Italian. So you just find yourself speaking Italian.
I do agree, because I moved to the UK in the mid-2000s. At that time, it was just after the East European countries. They like to call themselves East, okay, Central European countries like Poland, right. Slovakia. They joined the EU. So London was awashed with
right.
Central East European hospitality
that's
workers.
It.
So you go into a Starbucks, it's more like to be a Pavel or Pavelina
that
serves
it.
You coffee.
That's the thing.
However, Italy went almost bankrupt in 2011. It's before Mario Draghi, was his name?
Draghi, uh-huh.
Before he took over, it was a mess, right?
Well, it's not... Yes, I know what you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, it's still a mess, so don't use past tense.
It's pretty much still a mess, but yeah. I mean, we're trying to get back...
Get back with Giorgia Meloni. Trust her. Yes, lovely.
It's a long way, but yeah, we're trying. We are trying. I mean, I haven't lived there in 7 years, right? It's a lot of back
and
forth.
You just come back from a month or a couple of weeks.
That's the thing. It's a constant back and forth because I'm doing shows mostly there now.
Yeah.
And I'm actually, did I tell you this? I'm moving back.
There's another section of the podcast. Shall we say, no, I want to finish this bit. So
right. What
was I talking about?
You're talking about... How a mess we are.
No, before that.
The accent thing?
Oh, yeah, we're talking about the staffing, hospitality people.
Hospitality, yeah,
yes.
Right.
So Italy went almost bankrupt in 2011, and Southern European migrate to Western, Northern Europe for work. Almost overnight, you feel that all the Pavel has been replaced by Paolo. I'm that's so racist. I made a joke about every cloud has a silver lining. And
right.
I used to say that, okay, Italy may have gone bankrupt, but the coffee quality in London has just got so much better.
Well, we're very glad that our bankruptcy brought you better food. Better.
I mean, after this recording, we can pop by. There's an Italian deli.
Can't wait.
You can find the Valeggio, like pecorino cheese and mortadella. They have everything.
Yeah?
Yeah, but it wasn't like that when I first moved to
London. So you're saying that because we went bankruptcy, more people...
No, I'm just
moved here and we have better food.
No, I'm saying there's,
you're welcome, England.
There's a substantial amount of Italian people living in London.
Okay.
So much so that when Stanley Tucci made a CNN travel program about Italy, he dedicated one episode to London.
Ah.
You were telling me my assumption wasn't quite right, because I said with so many Italian people living in London, they surely breathe a new group of very fluent in English Italian. And you say, not quite, because they mostly...
No, it's a very common thing to move here. I'm talking mostly about London.
And fail to integrate!
That's right. And then they go back where they belong. No, like, they move here. It's a very common thing. Like, move to London, you're going to be all right. You're going to learn English in 2 weeks. And then you move into a house with five Italians. Hey, you speak Italian. You know, like you try to speak English, even though it's all Italians, and you always get at some point, it's like, can we get the, shall we, non mi ricordo come si dice, adesso facciamo un'altra cosa.
Parliamo in Italiano.
Yeah, that's right, that's
okay.
Right. Sorry, in saying that, there are Italians, like some Italians speak perfect English, you know, they've been here for ages. I think it's a choice, you know, to stay with your accent or to change it. I know many Italians, they've been here for like 15 years. At some point, it's, do you need it for your job? Do you need it for your career, for your family, for society, whatever? At some point, you click, you go, I don't need this. So I'm just going to keep talking like this. Nobody cares. Everybody understands me. And they just do that.
Because they will go to the pockets of the Italian community.
No, but even with English, to everybody. Like, at some point, you realize you don't need to speak like a proper English person or whatever. You just keep talking, speaking with your accent. And it's
what's your journey then? When it comes to this,
my journey is just like, I feel weird if I keep speaking like this. I don't like it.
But I do think your accent has softened over the years, though.
What do you mean? A softener, like it's got more what?
Less Italian. It was never very Italian, but even from the early point, I was talking about seeing you at GMB, the early day to now. And also, I think you have started to speak a little bit lower. I don't know whether it's because when you first learned English, you were exposed to American stuff and used to speak a little bit higher.
Maybe.
Man, I think your overall voice has gone down a little bit.
I think this is just the London pollution that made it like, you know, deeper.
Oh, it's just aging. It's just aging. Merciless aging.
That's really much. Yeah, for sure it changed. 100% it did. Even like the first experience that I did abroad. Do you know what Erasmus is?
Yes. Erasmus is a program designed by the European Union to allow different European teenagers to f*** each other.
That's right.
It's a breeding program.
Anything else?
To produce cross-cultural babies that more like to support the idea of European Union.
Correct. Go to Erasmus. And that was huge for me because that's when I actually started speaking English on a regular basis.
Where did you go?
To Estonia, to Tallinn. I stayed there for 6 months.
Oh, you learned English in Tallinn?
No, I didn't learn English in Tallinn. I started speaking it for the first time on a regular basis because I used to study English and Russian.
Ah.
And there was no Russian program or anything. So that's the closest to Russia that we could get. But that was the first time I was like with international students in the same flat.
Uh-huh.
There was that moment for the first time, like going to the kitchen, finding people. I was like, please don't talk to me. But I was forced to,
you know, okay.
Because, you know, I had to talk.
Quanti anni avevi?
Avevo 20.
Okay, so it wasn't that young. I thought you were talking, but it still is young enough.
Well, it's university, you know? It's,
okay.
Yeah, maybe 20, 21, 20, 21. But it was the first time that I went from good morning, everybody, to the pronunciation.
Your English tutor, was he or she American English or were they Italians? Who taught you English?
When I was in high school, it was like, I mean, now that I think about it, she was very like correct English, no accent, you know, like you should be, if you think about it. And then when I went to uni, it was British accent, mostly. And there was like another...
But it went from a textbook subject to something you have to use in daily life.
Mm.
And you were put into, how to say that, you were put in the environment when you actually had to use this language.
That's right. When I did the Erasmus, it was the first time that I actually, like, I had to live with it. It was always a choice, you know, it was always studying, watching things and stuff. But it was the first time that I found myself in the situation. Otherwise, I couldn't, you know.
It's interesting because I always thought your accent, for me, is quite light as Italian. To the point that when you're addressing people's generalization of Italians, you're talking about the stereotypes Italian, I feel you had to act acted because
the accent,
yeah, not the accent, the hand movement, the body language thing. Because in my perception, that's so not you,
right?
I feel like you have to MPOM extra just to act it out on stage.
You know what's weird is that, like you said about Luca, right?
Yeah.
And Luca still has much more than me, this thing
yeah.
and the accent and whatever, but he's way more English than I am. He got the citizenship, the passport, and
And his comedy is a bit drier as well.
He's much drier.
Much drier.
Yeah. It's like it's a lot more English everything about him, even on stage. And weirdly, I feel more, I don't know, Italian than
You're
him.
Just a passenger.
Maybe, you know what it is maybe, is that from the very beginning, I knew that this was going to be just a phase for me. I knew that this wasn't going to go like a lifelong...
You're not going to settle in this country forever.
Sentence. That's right. No, I knew I couldn't for many reasons. I've never been a huge fan of London in terms of what it looks like or the sky. I got this thing about the sky. I want to see the sky and, you know, London. So I knew that this was going to end sooner or later. And now I'm actually, you know, I'm moving.
Where are you moving to and when?
To Rome.
Moving back?
On Tuesday.
Really?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
I'm so glad to have you because, all right, let me jump to this question first. I didn't know. I thought you started performing comedy in English first, but from the description of you online, you started performing in Italian, and when you moved to London in 2018, then you started performing in English. So your very first language in which you performed stand-up comedy... It was Italian to start with?
No, the very first was English because the very first time I did it in Turkey. I lived in Turkey for a couple of years.
You were a geographically promiscuous man.
Promiscuous. Well, I like that. I'm going to use that. I like that. Promiscuous. So that's when I got all pumped about stand-up. I was watching a lot of stuff. And so I was like, so I just typed in open mic Turkey. Not even a city like Istanbul. Just Turkey. And one came up in Istanbul. I just went there. There was musicians, poetry, actors, and me. So I did my 5 minutes about my point of view as an Italian living in Turkey. Did my own thing, you know, and I got my little reactions and it just clicked that it's the thing. I think I want to do this. And I moved back to Italy. I did it for like a year. But when I started in Italy, you could do it maybe twice a week, maybe. You could do 2 spots a week.
So you basically wanted to do more shows that you were doing Italian and English at the same time?
Or? I just wanted to do it. But everybody was talking about this London stuff. And also, I heard some people already did it, a couple of Italians, Luca, for example. So I was like, all right, let's see what's going on.
So you came to London specifically to do comedy?
100%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, it was after Brexit as well.
It was right before Brexit.
Oh, because Brexit wasn't finalized.
I'm very lucky because some people can't do that now. Nobody can do it now.
So if you wonder... if some of you thought, oh, I've not come across Tiziano, or if you browse his Instagram, you notice most of the stuff, the captions, subtitles on Italian,
right.
And more and more clips on Italian, you can notice the shift. You're moving from English performer to a performer in Italian.
That's right.
I didn't know. I'm going to miss you.
I'm going to miss you too,
Aww.
Man. Let's hug. Come on, let's
Aww.
Go.
But the pasta, we still have to cover that later. Okay, so when did you make that conscious decision? I'm moving back to a performer, a comedy performer, performing in Italian language.
So first of all, since I moved here, there have been some occasions where I performed in Italian. We created a little bit of a stand-up community. When I say we, it's Becomedy UK. You know, it's me and Marco.
Marco Di Pinto.
That's right. Becomedy UK, we did a lot of work.
Are you going to abandon him?
I'm going to abandon him. He's actually the one that I'm glad to abandon.
He will have to hold on his own right now.
If you watch it, I can't stand you. In saying that, I got to the point, it was very weird when I got to the point after like 3 years that I was here. I started doing this Italian stuff here or when I was going back to Italy. And there was this moment very weird that I learned how to perform in English, like to be on stage.
You learned, you refined the craft in English and now you're bringing it back to your mother tongue.
Yes. But there was the moment where I learned, like I was comfortable doing it in English. And then I forgot how to do it in Italian, like not to speak, like to perform, like the rhythm, the words, the way you, you know, approach the stage. I was lost. And then I started doing much more in Italian. And now I'm in a place where I think it's the right time for me as a comedian and for the situation that the country is in. Because finally, stand-up is developing so much. I want to give it a go. I'm moving and I think it's time to try at least. I think it would be dumb not to go and try now.
And also, it's very crowded here on the English scene. Where's Italian just taking off?
It's taken off.
If you go there now, you can secure a toss. Like, you're already on Comedy Central and...
I've recorded like 3 times, I think, for Comedy Central in Italy. Yeah. And what I love about that is that there is a lot of people that are starting right now. I love that stand-up is bloody exploding, finally. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been waiting for this so much. I don't care about being the ones that, you know, part of the generation that started before these people that are starting now. Yeah, I'm lucky for that because I found out about stand-up and then I wanted to do it and I started. And now... it's a coincidence that it's starting to explode right now. And that's fine. But I love that it's finally like everybody actually knows what I'm talking about. Before it was like knocking at doors.
And they were expecting some sort of variety show or like the what they call the commedia dell'arte.
We call it cabaret. What do you think of when I say cabaret?
I would think of the life is a cabaret. But I think it involves a bit of singing as well.
But it's not.
A little bit of clowning or no?
That's what we mean for cabaret is generally you think of straight away of the guy with the wig doing maybe some musical stuff as well. And the catchphrases, there's always like that catchphrase. Like... I've gone to Italy 4 times in a month now. This month.
Is your girlfriend moving with you?
She's coming. Okay. Yeah, she's coming.
It's not like ditching girlfriend for comedy career.
No. I tried.
Oh.
I'm kidding.
I hope she's impressed with the bus service in Rome.
With the bus service?
This is a joke on Luca. I say, you can be proud of Rome if you want. You can't even arrange a bus service.
It's pretty bad.
I watch a Taiwanese immigrant in Italy. Like her vlog, she's like, if you go out of touristy area in Rome, they don't collect the rubbish very diligently. It smells in the neighborhood.
It's true. How is the situation in Taiwan for that?
In Taiwan, you can't just put it outside. There is a collection time for each neighborhood. And if you miss it, you can't.
Like here.
No, here you put it in your wheeler bin, right?
That's right.
There's the truck will come and it will play a specific music and the neighborhood will come down to bin the rubbish.
There is trash truck that's got a music?
Yes.
Like the ice cream truck here?
Yeah, like the classical...
That's awesome. You know what happened to me in Italy? I was doing a gig in Milan, at a university. In the university, a lot of students, young students from pretty much anywhere, mostly Italians. So I do, you know, my jokes, you know, I talk about everybody. The English, the Chinese, pedophiles, like the worst stuff, anything. Do we have to edit pedophiles?
No, it's fine.
I mean, there are pedophiles in the world and I talk about them. In a jokingly way. This is to say that I joke about everything.
Okay.
Anyway, I do a joke about a Chinese person. And the students go a little bit like, this girl turns around towards a friend and she goes, oh, is that racist? And the guy goes, I don't know. I'm from Taiwan.
That's a good one.
And I went, oh, she's the racist. Look at that.
No, I think the Taiwanese guy should be able to say that the fact that you're from Taiwan does not prevent you from... judging or give an opinion.
But what I think happened is that she thought it was Chinese. I was like, well, yeah, that's the racist. And I was like, I don't give a f-.
No, but I also feel, even though I say a lot Taiwanese people are not Chinese, but because during COVID and the hate, yeah, I'm going to say again, remember the virus started in China and they were lying about it initially. So people were hating East Asian looking people and then Singaporean got beaten and Taiwanese would be harassed as well. So I know truth is we think we're different, but shit happens. People hate Chinese people. We go down with it because visually sometimes people can't tell the difference. So,
right.
But that is a funny thing. Although I do have to say your joke can go quite white when it goes. You even did a Chinese accent before in your set, didn't you?
No, I think you're right.
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah, but it was, I mean, let's give it
context.
Shall we give it context?
Context. Also, I have to say, one thing I find a little bit unfair is that somehow, for some reason, everyone feels they have a free pass to do the Italian accent.
100%.
Why is that?
I have no idea.
And do it badly as well.
Correct. And also, when I got to London, I was warned about this because in Italy, nobody cares if you do any accent. It's something that I find, first of all, it's fascinating. I love the accent. I'm a big fan of...
You know, I found it hypocritical because I would see people, not all, but some of my friends who are Black British, and they will really have a problem where people do like an African accent.
Right.
But they were more than happy to do a Chinese accent themselves, which I think is a bit of hypocrisy.
It's just like...
But they feel like, oh, if we do it, it's not punching down. We are laughing with you.
I never understood the offense in that because you do have that accent. If someone is good at doing your accent, it's just a good impression.
I think it depends on the context and intention.
Always. Because the context is always important.
If they do the accent, the whole idea is to highlight the idea that you struggled to communicate in English with other people.
and you are furious. Sometimes people do accidents.
Okay, if like, you the intention is everything, isn't it? Mm. Like if you do it with a bad intention, but you don't need to make an accent to say something bad or racist. You do have an accent. I do have an accent. You do my accent. As I've always find it fine and not offensive, fascinating at times because I love linguistics and all that. So I love to see how a language adapts to another. It's amazing to me. And accents, like I got to London and I was warned about this. I was like, you know, it's not good to do like any kind of accent and stuff. Mm. And I go to the first restaurant. I go, hi, I'm Tiziana, I'm from Italy. And they go, oh, Italy, blah, 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 blah,
really?
Blah. Of course.
That's kind of childish though.
But then again, I don't care. It's true. Yeah. Most of us speak like this. It's fine. We speak like this. I don't care.
I don't know. I just, nah. Who did that?
Everyone.
Really?
Everyone. School. I worked at school with kids, like primary schools. There is a new kid today. What's her name? Francesca, right? Hey, Francesca, you're from Italy. It's like, what? What are you doing, man? But it's fine. But imagine if we get like a Chinese kid.
Do you not feel British people are more likely to do an Italian accent compared to a Spanish accent? Have you noticed that?
Say again?
I feel British people feel they have a free pass to do a French accent. But they probably don't do it quite much in front of a French person, but they're happy to do Italian accent in front of Italian.
I think Italians is the most, I can't think of an accent more used,
yeah,
jokingly or not, than Italian. I can't think of another one.
Like Russian, maybe.
No, not as much. Not as much as Italian.
And I just thought it's a bit funny. I feel someone can do the accent a bit more if they know a little bit about the language and actually have a grasp, like it's not bruschetta, but it's bruschetta, you know, like things like that. So it's funny if you do an accent in such exaggerated manner, but you don't even pronounce the word correctly. But I know this is a minority opinion, so.
I don't know. I just think that maybe for some historical stuff, it's like.
But this can be harmful, though. Remember at the start of the COVID pandemic, Italy was hit before the UK, right? And Milan, the hospital was shutting down. People were trying to flee from the north to the south.
Yeah.
I feel for the British press, which have this superiority complex, they would just think, of course, Italy gonna get it. The dirty Italians, right? In a way, listen, I was reading and there were Italian scholars and doctors writing in the column, the rest of Europe, you guys should be prepared, see what happens in Italy. At least we give you the example, you can prepare, right, learn from it. But I feel the UK didn't do much because deep down they just thought, they kind of see Italy, the transition between the first world and the third world.
Wow.
Not knowing Northern Italy have fantastic medical services.
100%.
And in terms of their capacity, it's probably even better than the National Health Service in the UK. But they don't know. They don't know much about Italy. They just lump this idea as, oh, you know, Italian disorganized, it's messy.
Yeah.
They don't know that Northern Italy has very high industrial capacity. They don't know about that. And they were misled by their ignorance. And they could have better prepared, but they didn't. So
100%.
Anyone ever commented on you don't look Italian? The idea of Italian must be very, very dark, like much, much darker.
I know that's the case,
yeah,
because people would think that,
yeah.
But I think it's not the...
I would call that the Dolmio commercial stereotype. So to the extent when Luca tried to do audition because Luca has blue eyes, and they just said, no, you're not going to fly, you don't look Italian. Because the idea of Italian is someone very, very Southern Italian.
Yes, it is. But even if you go down south, if you go to Sicily, for example, there is a lot of people blonde with blue eyes,
yeah,
because they had the Vikings coming over.
Yeah. Why was that your, before this look, your look was more sort of I'm not saying generic, but you can't tell which European country you're from.
Hmm. And now it's more Italian? Because I don't have many people telling me, oh, you're Italian.
Still not. I don't know. Has that comment ever happened to you?
As
say that you don't look Italian to me.
Yeah, I got people say, like, especially because there is a little bit of red in here.
Not red, more like dark blonde in a way.
Yeah. I mean, I got people telling me red.
Ginger.
Kind of. Not in the hair, but yeah.
Tiziano Barbarossa.
even in Italy, when I show up at the border, you give them the passport and stuff, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, they're a little bit surprised that I'm Italian.
Oh, even the Italian.
Yeah. Like, that's right. They go like, it's not all of them.
Does that work against the image when you try to talk about being Italian or Italian stereotype? And people are like, I don't quite agree. You don't look Italian to me.
It's like people that show up at the border?
No, the audience. When you do a show.
Ah, right. I think as soon as I go on stage here, people go, where the hell is it from?
Yeah.
You know? And that's why I say it right away. Because what you said, I don't want people to get distracted. I want to say it right away.
Yeah, get it out of the way. Majority of my guests all share this kind of tactic as something either you've been told or you realize pretty soon. Why are they not paying attention to what I'm saying?
100%.
Because they're still thinking about where the F this accent from.
Yeah, and also we, when I say we, I say everybody that come from other countries and perform here. At the beginning, especially, you do a lot of my countries like this.
Yeah, about your nationality, ethnic background.
That's right. Because it activates all the stuff that you talked about, like the stereotypes and the real stuff.
Okay.
And it kind of gives the audience expectations.
Okay, we don't have much time left and concentrate on a few questions. First, what's the tangible or a noticeable difference between your process of how you do comedy in Italian and in English now that you've gone back to feeling natural about both?
Yeah, it's periods for me. Like I just came from full shows and hour shows in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of going on stage now and do it in English, I'm not going to say stressful, but I have to recalibrate a little bit because I have like not the whole same material, but I do translate some stuff. And when I do it for like a month in Italian and I have to go back on stage in English, I'm always terrified that I'm going to mess up the punchline. Not that I say it in Italian, but the construction of the sentence is different. I'm always terrified that I'm going to mess it up. But now, since I've been focusing more on in Italian, I'm just going to keep focusing on
that.
But
it's muscle memory and it's kind of different muscles, right? In terms of when you create the joke.
Oh, yes. It comes to me, if I write it right away in English, it's probably going to be an English bit. And if I write it instinctively in Italian, it's probably going to be an Italian stuff. But after I done the joke, after I tried it out, I always wonder, like, is this translatable? And then the other boring process starts over.
So you have three parts. One part's probably just English, just Italian, and one interchangeable part.
No, because the boring stuff is that I interface four kind of audience regularly. The international audience here. When I say international,
by international, you don't mean just Italian expats.
That's the thing. I mean everything else. Let's say the English people, but everybody else here. Then I got the Italians here.
Hmm.
Then I got the Italians in Italy. And then I got the international people in Italy.
Oh.
And it's all different material for a big part. You know, that you can even translate the same jokes, but you get I'm not going to talk to the Italians in Italy about the queen, about the, there is this bit that I do about the kingdom. They don't care. They wouldn't get it. And if they would get it, it's because I would need to do like a whole premise to make them understand the context. I can do 10 more jokes in that time.
Mm.
You know, I don't need that.
This is perfect for what I want to put in this episode. The fact that mentally for you, there are four different type of audiences. But it makes sense. If something's really Italian, you can still communicate that with Italian who live here.
That's right.
But probably not for... It depends on the subject. You will think about it for the foreigners who live in Italy, how much further. Yeah, when I wrote my show, I have stuff that worked for British people, some stuff worked for Taiwanese people. But I feel the Taiwanese people who live here and the spouse of these Taiwanese people are the one who can get more jokes out of my overall show.
Right. Do you have as much fun when you do it in Taiwan or
not in Taiwan, but when I did it in European city, I did have to leave some stuff which I quite like. That's very heavy reference to British politicians.
Oh.
Some of them, like Liz Truss, people may not know who she is. If I've mentioned the prime minister that was in the microwave for 5 minutes, people tend to recognize that. But some other references are way too niche for them. Yeah. Four groups, that's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's just generally, yes. But then again, I've done shows in... I went to Lisbon, for example. I did a show in Italian for like an Italian crowd.
Is there enough people?
Apparently.
Oh.
Yeah. It wasn't huge. It was like 50 people. But it was fine. But then again, it's a different crowd than the Italians here and then the Italians in Italy. The references are not the same.
Mm.
Again, I'm not going to talk to them about the Queen. There's always the example that...
She died.
She did die. She did die.
I think
and
we
now
can...
we have a king.
From this, I think we can end on the little community that Marco and you built, the B Comedy.
That's right. I met Marco after maybe not even a year that I was here. We started developing this project, B Comedy UK. In this last 6 years, we started organizing and doing shows in Italian and in English. We have a regular gig monthly at the Comedy Store.
Mm-hmm.
We do it in Italian. So every time it fills up with like 400 Italians.
Mm-hmm.
We also call like big names from Italy. It's very cool because you forget that you're in London.
I'm going to send this episode to the Home Office to say that you should watch the level of Italian migration.
Just joking. Watch it.
Enough to sustain a monthly show Italian at Comedy Store.
But since I moved... And I started performing more and more and more.
Yeah.
I started getting more work in Italy too. I'm constantly on the plane.
You're also doing shows in Italy, Be Comedy, right? You do like the tours and
100%. We just finished a tour a few months ago. It was great. It was like 40 different towns. And now we're about to start the next one in September. And at the same time, I'm doing my own tour with my own show, which I've been building up for the last maybe 6 months or so.
It's a great loss to London to lose you, but it's a great gain of Italy to get one of their boys back. Also, you've refined your craft in English here and you're bringing it back. I think what's wonderful is that even though it's just a couple of hours flight back to Italy, the Italians live here who must miss home a lot. And you provide something they feel like being home in the community. How do we find you on social media?
Tiziano La Bella, which is, you know, a weird name, but you find me like that on Instagram. I work mostly on Instagram, but you can find pretty much everywhere.
Okay, our time is up, so we're gonna
I'm just gonna say thank you, and it was really, really, I get emotional now that I'm coming back to Italy, so thank you so much for, like, even just...
I know you'll be back, I'll probably go visit
you. But thank you for everything, like, you've been very nice since the very first day. Thank you.
So that's our guest today, Tiziano La Bella, and grazie mille.
Grazie a te.
Ciao, ciao a tutti.